It's now official. The Dreamliner will not be delivered this year. Boeing's parts facility in China could double employment. And it pays to be shovel-ready. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 30th, 2010. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood and FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented Friday on the completion, ahead of schedule, of $14.5 million in runway projects at San Francisco International Airport. Federal stimulus funds were used to accelerate the work to subsidize construction jobs. LaHood noted, quote, "These projects kept workers in good-paying jobs, and these safety improvements will benefit the airport and passengers for years to come," unquote. Babbitt commented, quote, "Healthy runways are safe runways. Old pavement can crumble, creating debris that can damage aircraft and shut runways down, causing delays for passengers," unquote. Runways 10 left, 28 right, and 1 right, 19 left were both leveled and repaved, and were finished 1 year and 2 years ahead of schedule, respectively. Nationwide, $1.3 billion in stimulus money has been committed for airport improvements and air traffic control upgrades. Boeing finally conceded Thursday that it now expects to deliver the first 787 to All Nippon Airways not late this year, but in the middle of the first quarter of 2011. The revision follows an assessment of the availability of a Rolls-Royce engine needed for the final phases of flight testing this fall. Boeing had said last month that the cumulative impact of a series of issues, including supplier workmanship related to the horizontal stabilizer and instrumentation delays, could push first delivery of the 787 a few weeks into 2011. The delay in engine availability has extended that estimate to the middle of the first quarter. The company says there will be no effect on its financial guidance. The Boeing parts facility in China could see a doubling of its workforce to 1,200 employees over the next 3 to 4 years, according to reports from state-run media. AFP News reports Boeing China President David Wang told the China Daily newspaper, quote, "We have to enlarge the place because the needs of commercial airlines is growing fast," unquote. The news follows a slew of new orders announced by Boeing and Airbus at the Farnborough Air Show in July. The Tianjin factory supplies structures and interior parts for Boeing's complete line of commercial airliners. In China alone, passenger air traffic is expected to rise 13% for 2010 and cargo 12% compared to 2009. Up next on ANN, JetBlue provides more adventure for its passengers. The Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer gets a ride on a C-5M. And pilots in Florida get a new in-flight resource. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through innovation. It's what led us to develop Cirrus Flying 2.0, the framework for a bold new take on private aviation. And as a result, the gap between the aircraft we produce and those of our competitors continues to widen. Cirrus knows where the personal aircraft industry is headed. We're already there.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Passengers on JetBlue Flight 262, arriving at Sacramento from Long Beach, California Thursday, experienced a hard landing. It blew two tires, dug deep grooves in the runway, and the wheels caught fire when the brakes were applied. The crew made the decision to evacuate the plane using the emergency slides as a precaution. KCRA-TV reports 15 minor injuries, with 5 people transported to local hospitals, but none of the injuries appeared to be life-threatening. Airport officials say no other flights in or out were delayed due to the incident. The flight data recorder has reportedly been removed from the aircraft by investigators. Physicists from around the world watched anxiously last week as their 7.5-ton Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer made an 11-hour flight from the European Organization for Nuclear Research in Switzerland to Kennedy Space Center in preparation for its space shuttle ride to the International Space Station. Although the project is officially sponsored by NASA and the U.S. Department of Energy, nations around the globe have collectively invested an estimated $2 billion in the device. The AMS has taken 16 years to build and is expected to operate for 18 years in space, helping scientists search for unusual types of matter based on radiation. Nobel laureate Dr. Sam Ting, who led the project team, specifically requested the C5M, saying that in anything smaller, the AMS particle detector would have required partial disassembly to make the trip. Captain Matt Mattis, who completed his check ride as aircraft commander during the trip, commented on the excitement of the scientists in seeing the plane. Quote, "A lot of these people have never seen a C5 before. They have a lot of questions about how it actually gets off the ground. They're as excited as we are, if not more." Unquote. The Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer is scheduled aboard the last space shuttle mission before the fleet retires. Endeavour's STS-134 mission is scheduled for launch in February. Pilots who fly in or near Jacksonville, Florida, have been given some good news and some bad news from the FAA. The good news is, if you have ADS-B transceive capability and a compatible display, you can now get free traffic and weather broadcast information in the cockpit. The bad news? You can't legally rely on it. Flight Information Service Broadcast, or FISB, provides a cockpit display of aviation weather and aeronautical information through a universal access transceiver on 978 MHz. The FAA notes that FISB is not compatible with 1090ES avionics. FISB weather products are for advisory use only and cannot be used in compliance with any regulatory requirement. Pre-flight weather briefings and in-flight weather updates must still be obtained through FAA-approved sources only. Traffic Information Service Broadcast, or TISB, enhances visual acquisition of other traffic. Pilots must continue to exercise vigilance to see and avoid. Aircraft equipped for 978 MHz can get both. Those with 1,090 MHz extended squitter only will be able to receive only the traffic info. Get more details on the new capabilities in the text version of this story, dated August 27th, at aero-news.net. Still ahead, the Grammar Police levy a fine on an air ambulance service. Sully and Jeff get a humorous keepsake from Jeppesen. And did you say flutter test or pucker test? You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 30th. I'm Paul Plack. Given what email and texting have done to the English language in the last few years, it would be scary to think there might actually be a government agency enforcing correct grammar. But apparently the U.S. Department of Transportation has nothing more pressing to do. Mercy Flights of Oregon has the exclusive use of a helicopter, for which it pays all operating costs. But because the aircraft is actually owned by a separately named entity, BTS LLC, the DOT has announced a fine of $30,000 against Mercy Flights for calling it our helicopter in marketing materials, something DOT calls a deceptive practice that's in violation of law. If the ambulance service can refrain from the incorrect use of the pronoun for a year, the fine will be reduced to $15,000. The fine is not without precedent. DOT fined Angel Medflight Worldwide Air Ambulance Services of Scottsdale, Arizona, $10,000 last year for the use of a personal possessive pronoun. If you weren't at the 2010 Gathering of Eagles fundraiser dinner and auction at EAA Air Venture, you might have missed this, but what a great idea to celebrate a legendary achievement. Jeppesen presented recently retired U.S. Airways Captain Chesley Sullenberger and his first officer on Flight 1549, Jeff Skiles, with a one-of-a-kind approach chart commemorating the miracle on the Hudson. The chart documents the historic 5-minute flight with a unique graphic, beginning with departure from LaGuardia Airport, followed by a cooked goose transition and Hudson River approach, which is then followed by splash and rescue points on the water. The humorous chart also salutes the career achievements of the crew of Flight 1549, including Sully and Jeff, and veteran flight attendants Sheila Dale, Donna Dent, and Doreen Welsh. It's engraved with a motto carried in Sully's flight bag and said to have come from a fortune cookie. A delay is better than a disaster. And finally today, as Gulfstream Aerospace continues pushing towards certification of its G650 business jet, the company says Test Aircraft 6001 has successfully completed flutter testing at Mach 0.995, barely below the speed of sound. The test required test pilots Tom Horn and Gary Freeman, along with flight test engineer Bill Osborne, to take the plane to 51,000 feet, put the nose down 16 to 18 degrees below the horizon, and bring it near the speed of sound, while flutter exciters intentionally hit the wing, tail, and flight control surfaces with vibrations ranging from 2 to 58 hertz to see if the structures would naturally damp the oscillations with no further pilot input. The G650 is said to have performed flawlessly. Horn commented afterward, quote, "The airplane is very predictable. It's very easy to control and to get precise control at those speeds. The airplane response has matched the expectations of our engineers, and we've been able to easily fly the test conditions and march through the test plan," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves offers a suggestion to improve the student pilot retention rate. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.